listening.
Yeah.
Where are we, Wes?
Welcome, everybody, to Slurpcast.
We're having a religious experience right now.
It's a religious experience.
Yes, because Wes and I have joined a new religion. Wes was never really in the Apple religion that much. And I totally am in the Apple religion, but I'm slowly fading as I join my new religion.
All right.
And we're right now in the headquarters of the San Francisco headquarters of the new religion.
Yeah, this is the temple of our religion.
And this is the only one in the world that has the vault.
Is it the only one in the world, really?
I think so, yeah.
I thought there was... Okay.
No, the one in Miami doesn't have the vault.
Okay. But why is it an interesting religion? What words do they use to describe
the... I'm not going to remember. I know it has something to do with it.
I know one of the things
it's fulfilled in your mouth and stuff.
It's evenly balanced in your mouth?
Yeah. What was the other one?
It uses a lot of descriptions where the flavors have a lot to do with notes.
No.
So, right. Notes of cereal, notes of...
Right. But what was the other one? The really good quotes I had. I sent you one. Those are the best, but I forgot what
I know. We weren't prepared for this.
Anyway, should we tell them or...
Yeah.
No one on Facebook has figured it out yet, even though I gave big quotes that are searchable on Google.
Well, we have to kind of kind of back up though.
Yeah.
So we were broadcasting from this facility before. This is not new. We were broadcasting from here.
Right.
And let's see. We were broadcasting from here before in the last show, but you have recently become a convert.
Yes.
Because you purchased one of their products.
Right.
And that has caused you to see this place now as a serious religion.
But I bought one and returned it, which is...
Well, you bought a part of one. You did not buy the full experience. So
right, that's true.
It's kind of like, you know, Jesus. You'll only meet Jesus. You don't really understand what he's about, right? You don't get a chance to talk to him.
But you know the way they took that one back? They didn't check the box. They didn't check anything.
Right.
Couldn't you buy a machine that has all the... capsules in it,
yeah.
And return the machine and keep the capsules?
Sure, you could, yeah, but they trust you. They feel that their product is so good that once you buy it and you start using it, that you're never going to want anything other than...
And you never want to cheat them?
Right.
Okay.
Although you could knock on somebody's door when they open up, walk in, and then get into their bathtub.
Right.
That is a possibility.
You know what? Maybe that's the secret. Maybe you're supposed to store them in the bathtub.
Really?
Maybe you're supposed to...
Oh, and then...
Because I never used my bathtub. I could store them there.
Well, that's why... Then that would stop people from coming in and using your bathtub.
Right. I could store my Captain Crunch whistles in my bathtub.
You could also get in...
I'm overflowing the drawer. I have them all in a small drawer in there.
So if you were to dump them all in your bathtub, you could get in there naked.
Right.
Sitting
I don't have enough to
take
fill
a bath
the
with Captain Crunch
I don't actually have enough to fill the bathtub.
Okay.
I have enough to make one layer. If I faked it with styrofoam around me in the bathtub,
so,
I could put the layer on.
Well, what's the significance of Captain Crunch whistles versus this religion that we're now in the temple of?
Nothing very much. But for the Captain Crunch whistles, there's a new book that's out that I recommend all you get called Exploding the Phone by Phil Lapsley.
So do we want to go back and tell them what religion we're practicing before we go into the book?
Because... I guess so, yeah.
So we're hanging out at the Nespresso boutique.
Nespresso is a religion.
San Francisco.
If you're living in San Francisco, New York, or Miami, where they have the full-blown boutique experience, you'll understand why it's a religion.
It is a religion because you can buy, what are they called, ritual glasses for your coffee.
But they also have 15 exact coffees, no more, no less.
16, actually, 16.
Besides the variations?
That might include the variation.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Okay.
16, no more, no less.
You don't have them memorized?
No, I don't.
But you're supposed to
memorize
them.
Except the ones that I like. I like the arpeggio.
Right.
What else do I like? The capriccio.
Right.
Is that right?
I don't know the name.
And then the ristretto.
The truth is they all taste the same. Just some of you have to add sugar and some of you don't. Otherwise
right. That's true. I cannot drink it straight, though. That's the one thing I should say.
I never tried, yeah.
I can't drink it without milk. I need milk.
Right.
So... Okay, so let's talk about your book.
Okay. So there's a book called Exploding the Phone by Phil Lapsley. It's out right now in hardcover only, but February 5th, by the time this is posted probably, you'll be able to get a Kindle version of it and all the other electronic formats.
Okay.
So I like it so much, I'm actually reading it as a real book.
Really?
It's horrible.
No.
A horrible experience.
So, a horrible experience?
To read a real book, yeah.
Oh, I see. Yeah, because...
Where do you put it?
Because there's no backlight.
It's this whole big thing.
Right. and you have to actually turn pages.
You sit in your lap, and it kind of flops over, and it's uncomfortable.
You literally have to use your fingers to, like, reach around and pull the pages. But
worst of all, I tried reading
it
in bed. When I turned the lights in the room off, the book went off, too.
Right. Well, so
it's easily responsive to the lights in the room.
Well, the auto-rotate's turned off, which is nice, right?
Yeah,
so you don't have to
true.
Worry about that.
That's true.
You can turn it sideways and read comfortably against your pillow.
That's true.
Right.
What?
So, what?
You could do what?
What?
No, the auto-rotate is on. What do you mean?
No, it's not on.
That's
it's
right.
off, yeah.
yeah
no,
off.
That's a beautiful thing. For a moment, you thought books really rotated there, Mark.
I know. Well, the other problem is the pictures don't expand. Pictures were a little bit small, and I tried to pinch them open. They wouldn't.
Did you try to, like, reach out there?
Yeah.
All right, so
anyway,
getting back to seriousness.
Anyway, it's a really, really, really good book. If you know anything about the Steve Jobs book by Walter Eisenberg, this is to that level of thoroughness.
Oh, wow, really?
You just go, it starts from around 1950 and talks about all kinds of phone freak history I never even heard of before.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so
starting from really early days.
Huh, but you should also enlighten the users as to why this is something that you started reading. It is
because I mentioned it, because although I'm very minor... I was disappointed when I first bought it. I was kind of disappointed how minor I was.
Okay.
But then I thought about it compared to all the other characters, what they did.
Uh-huh.
I don't deserve being any more than that.
I thought you did. I thought you played more. In all the stuff that I've read before about phone freaking history, I don't think you've been given enough credit for the stuff that you did, the stories that I've heard. Now, I personally know you, so that's sort of a little bit
read the book and look what the other ones really did. I don't know.
Well, yeah. I already know, I haven't read the book, but I do know enough about the history outside of just the Mark Bernays Society and you to know, though, that you guys did play a significant role. You and
My role was more getting the Loop Rounds publicized. I got a lot of people hooked together by the Loop Rounds publicity, and I did a lot of archiving. Like, my Phone Trips website today is pretty important because a lot of people refer to it for... antique sounds and stuff.
Right, and you have a compilation of sounds of your recordings that you did.
Right.
In Washington.
But several people totally independently discovered the whole concept of a blue box. And I never discovered that. I mean, I just heard about it. I never did anything like that.
Okay. Well, anyway, so that's interesting. I have it
anyway,
on my...
it's a really, really good book.
I have it on my favorites, so I will read it. Is it worth reading right after World War Z, which I'm about to complete, or should I just...
It's worth reading,
Is it worth reading right after that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so. What else are you...
I have another one that I was going to read, another science fiction book, but I have that on my wish list, so I might go ahead and get that instead.
Okay.
All right, let's go into some stories. What's been going on?
One of the most surprising things to me is that all of a sudden Chromebooks are taking off. I'm not sure by sales, but I know there are a number of companies... Four new companies just came out with Chromebooks now.
Okay. Yeah. Was it HP that came out with the Chromebook?
HP, Lenovo, and what's the other one?
Why is that?
I don't know.
I know that...
I think they sell in schools and stuff.
I know that the administration, the remote administration of several of those Chromebooks is quite easy from what I've read. I've never played with it.
Right.
I have played with a Chromebook briefly, and I do admit it is very fast. But that's just because there's
no
other...
The real thing, though, at least when I had mine, there's horrible performance problems. Supposedly it's all fixed now. They had a bad memory management problem before.
Okay.
But supposedly it now does memory swapping better, where the very latest versions are faster. But I found, yes, it was very fast if you only had one browser tab open at a time.
Okay.
If you tried to do a lot of things, it just bogged down really badly.
Okay.
But, anyway, it's not that there's so many Chromebooks. There's... HP and Lenovo are the two who do it. But my other story about Chromebooks is that Acer has a Chromebook, the cheapest one right now.
Okay.
Even cheaper than the Asus one.
Okay.
The Acer has one for $200.
Okay.
And they claim they're selling more of those than Windows machines. They're actually making more of a profit on them.
Well, they are simpler to use, right? So for people who just want to browse the web but have a keyboard?
Yeah, I think they'd be good for your grandmother or... You know, people that you set up a machine for, I think it'd be good for them because it won't break. It'll update automatically. It won't catch viruses and stuff.
I guess the other thing to consider, too, is that more people who use computers are using computers just simply for the web and for browsing than what you or I or the people who are familiar with OSs would use them for. I mean, we're more used to saying, oh, wow, this OS is really great because it multitasks or what have you. But your grandmother or people who just want to get on the internet and check things like Facebook or whatever. They're used to browsers and what goes on within the browser.
Yeah,
only.
They can break things easily.
Yeah, if they're not aware of the operating system underneath. Right. So right. In that sense, I can see that being one of the reasons why Chromebooks are now starting to sell.
Right. I think it's more in schools, though, that they're really catching on. Yeah.
Okay.
Like the Lenovo one is for schools only, for ours is VHP. The Lenovo one, I think, is purely for schools, and you can't even buy one otherwise.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, we forgot to mention, go to www.slurpcast.com for show notes behind the show, where we'll have the URLs that were with all the articles we're talking about. You can go read the articles yourself.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we try to be entertaining and give you a lot of information. We try to be as recent as we can, although Mark and I have a tendency to want to try to prove that a lot of new technology that's coming out has actually been thought of before or has occurred in the past in some way, shape, or form. Right. It's often very funny when Mark finds articles or I find articles about
Something 2,000 years old that we can somehow correlate to.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that was the intent of the show when we first started out, but I guess we haven't really been doing that much lately. Right. We just kind of go through. I do have something that is related to old news.
Okay.
Let me see if I can find it. I found a lot of articles this time around, so I've got to be very choosy about what we talk about or what I talk about. The Radio Shack article. I got an article here.
Radio Shack.
Yeah, I got an article from Retro Thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the Radio Shack APM 200. Let's see here. Power meter that lets you see the music. So I'll read briefly a little bit about a snippet from the article. It says, for those of us who worship at the temple of the most holy bouncing light in time to music phenomenon, it's a good time. Every software music player has some sort of swirly visualization that morphs in time to the music. Right. It used to be more of a trick to pull off. The Atari Jaguar video game console could do some colored patterns driven by the music, spooling off of a CD. But to enjoy that, you had to have an obscure game system with a few good titles to justify keeping it around. So this is basically a system that actually does what some of those gaming consoles did by allowing you to plug this into a TV and see very rudimentary, old-fashioned, aliased visualizations or animations of colors.
But not games? Or just
not games, no. It was just meant to be something that you would hook up to, I don't know, maybe it was something you dropped acid to watch colors on the screen, you know, for I know. But basically, the idea of these interesting algorithmic visualizations of colors morphing in and out and doing very nice patterns on the screen was actually fairly old. It wasn't something that's been very recent.
Oh, yeah, they used to do that.
So,
you're right, these have screensavers that would do that.
Right, kind of like screensaver, but their intention, I think, was to do something to music, and this is actually an amplifier, this system here that we're talking about.
But it plugs into a TV.
If you look at it.
Yeah.
You see, it's an old, very old Radio Shack like amplifier.
Yeah.
So we'll post this.
What are the colors?
What's
you
that?
Plug it. Oh, you plug like
you plug
lights
your,
into
your
it
TV in. Can you see that in the back?
Yeah.
And it does these very, very low quality animations based on the music that's playing. So I need to figure out what time
but
frame.
Radio Shack.
Let's see here. It's a bit more like Knight Rider, is what the article says. But I'm not sure.
Speaking of music, it's the 30th anniversary of MIDI. Something like that,
MIDI?
Yeah, you know,
Music Instrument Digital Interface.
I think I didn't cut out that article, but I just kind of screwed up and didn't quite get the article in here. But
okay.
But I saw something like that. Huh. Yeah.
So why is MIDI important? MIDI was a standard created to allow electronic devices
That's
to communicate back
for
and
musicians,
forth.
Yeah.
Yeah. And to this day, MIDI is more steady and stable than USB.
Right.
So one of the people, there's many different keyboards. If you want to get a keyboard to control your sequencer on your computer, you would get a USB keyboard, plug it into your USB port, and that's all you need to do. And most software will recognize your keyboard, and you can play chords and play the piano and control your computer that way. Mm-hmm. But one thing that most people don't realize is that there's a latency when you hit the keys.
Okay.
From the time you hit the key to the time your computer plays back music, there's this lag or
that's
delay.
That's why you do it by USB or by...
So this, there's something called jitter. And if you're considering, if you want to play perfectly in time with some kind of a tempo or a meter on your computer, there's jitter means that when you're using USB, right. The latency will vary by some degree, okay. and okay. because USB by its nature isn't based on having exact timing, so okay. you end up with this thing called jitter where your delay can vary. So you, yeah. it's only for people who are. What I would consider to be anal about timing, but sure. the average person's not going to notice this, so it's not really a problem. Right. But there is enough jitter yeah. to be problematic for musicians.
But MIDI does not have that.
MIDI does not. MIDI simply yeah. was created to be serial and basically okay. send data okay. in one direction. But as a result, timing is much more consistent than something okay. like USB. Huh. It's funny because USB is much more recent of a technology than MIDI.
Right. But, yeah.
So
yeah.
yeah so.
I correlate this to something kind of old, like okay. pipe organs. If you have a giant pipe organ filling up your whole house, including all your bathtubs and everything, I mean real pipe organs with air pressure and okay. running it and stuff.
Yeah,
they have computerized controllers for those nowadays, and the first computerized controllers were all run off of old PCs, and the PC was so slow that a good musician could yeah. detect a delay. Like they make a chord and they, instead of the pipes all turning on all at once, okay. they kind of go boop, 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 boop. They kind of...
Okay.
So a good musician, the audience wouldn't notice, but the musician would notice that there's a delay and it would bother them and stuff.
All right, okay.
So it's similar to what you're saying with
yeah.
USB, I guess.
That's the same thing. Right. But what I'm talking about is that the delay that you get right. through USB is different over time. It okay. varies. Sometimes you'll get
depending
a short...
what else is going on.
Right. It's somehow, from what I've read, and I'm not the total expert on okay. this, but what I've read is that professionals who have actually timed this by putting in breakout boxes okay. between the actual keyboard and the computer okay. have found that USB has this jitter, or this varying right. of latency, that MIDI, which was invented yeah. in like the 70s, early 70s, or maybe even prior, does not have this jitter.
I bet because USB sends with packets... MIDI might send a separate
serial.
Signal, electrical signal for me.
There's no compression, yeah.
Yeah.
So
whereas USB is probably a packetized system.
Okay.
So it waits until the packet's filled up with notes before it sends it or
okay.
I bet it's something like that.
That's probably true, and that's why yeah. there's that jitter. Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, so for people who care about timing and really want to get things in sync, that is an issue. So yeah.
What's USB over MIDI over USB? I mean, that's what you're talking about?
Yes.
You're saying USB. It's a MIDI protocol, but turned into USB, and that's yes. where the jitter comes
yeah.
from.
Yeah. So that's yeah. why when you buy a MIDI keyboard and you plug okay. it into your computer, the USB, right. that's what you end up getting is this little bit of a jitter. But okay. yeah, again, this is only for people who really are sensitive to latency, and like pro musicians yeah. would care.
Okay. They use Ethernet for that at all?
Yeah. So I know
some pipe organs use Ethernet nowadays as their transmission.
Let's see. Avid has a bunch of controllers that have really, really high resolution, and they do not use USB. They actually use Ethernet.
Because that is faster.
Avid's
yeah.
Avid's controllers, and they send a very high amount of data when you start sliding the sliders back and forth.
Okay.
So the sequencer. So my understanding is that USB wouldn't be as good at handling all of that.
Right.
Now I don't know about USB 3. But right. Ethernet's a standard.
That's true.
It's been
yeah,
around a
USB
long time.
3 might solve those things.
Yeah, but Ethernet's been around a long time, and so right. as a result, you can buy those ports in bulk cheaply,
right.
install them in your equipment, and then profit.
I visited a pipe organ factory, a modern pipe organ factory,
uh-huh.
and they used Ethernet to get from the console to the pipes, all the pipe controllers.
Nice.
They had Ethernet networks running everywhere.
Huh. Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, any more?
Chroma.
What's been going on?
With BlackBerry.
Yeah, okay, talk about a little bit about that. When they did an announcement, like yesterday?
Yeah.
Or? Okay.
They're not RIM anymore. They're not Research in Motion. They changed the name to BlackBerry Corporation
okay.
or something.
Okay.
And they're coming out with two new machines. One's kind of looks just like an iPhone or an Android.
Okay.
Just strictly touchscreen. And the other one is looks like an old BlackBerry, but a little bit bigger screen.
Okay.
With a real keyboard and stuff.
Okay. Because that's their main thing, right? People always recognize
yeah.
them for the fact that they have keyboards.
Yeah, the
keyboards.
Last time they came out with one that didn't have a keyboard, it was a disaster.
Okay.
See, they have a problem with... they don't seem to like just touch keyboards. Like, Apple and Android, you touch a key and it just triggers right there. Remember the old BlackBerry Storm? That was a touchscreen only thing?
No, but I remember the name. Yeah, I remember when it came out. I never played with one.
But what was weird about the Storm is that, okay, you know how touchpads nowadays are pressurized?
Yeah.
You press the touchpad and it clicks a button.
Uh-huh.
Like the Apple ones and a lot of the other ones
right.
do that now.
Yeah, there was something weird about the...
Yeah, so the Storm, the whole screen was a physical touch button as well.
Okay.
So you'd touch the screen somewhere, but that wouldn't trigger anything. You then had to push the glass down and trigger the physical button.
Okay.
So as you typed every single character, you had to find it and then press down on it.
What?
Everyone hated it.
How do you... So what do you mean by the whole physical button? The whole screen was a
button? The whole screen is a button. The whole screen can lower simultaneously.
Oh, I see. So there's some...
It doesn't matter where you press. It's always the same.
Okay.
But trigger no matter where you press.
Okay.
So you choose something on the screen, and then you have to push it down to actually trigger it.
Okay.
So it's a little more accurate. Once you got used to it, you type maybe a little more accurately.
You're saying there were like two levels of depression that you had to go through?
Right.
Okay.
You touch once just to touch a spot, but then you had to...
Push
you could see in advance what it was going to be.
Okay.
So you could see visually what you were about to trigger, but then you had to push it down.
Okay.
So this new one, they're still doing something weird, apparently. Mm-hmm. That instead of just hitting the keys, you flick them upwards.
What?
At least, I didn't really read anything about it, but just watching the video of the guy demonstrating it.
Okay.
Like every key you hit, you kind of flick upwards just to make sure you really mean it or something.
That's weird.
I know.
Okay.
And then you know how Android brings up a line of three choices that it's guessing what you're going to type.
Right, yeah.
And you touch one of them.
Uh-huh.
Well, the BlackBerry, you touch one of them and then flick it upwards onto the page. See, you kind of watch letters flying up to the page. You watch words you flick flying up to the page.
All right.
So they claim it's better somehow doing that.
So I make fun of these sorts of things that don't make any sense because I've lived on the Android and the iOS before.
Right.
And I joke about this sort of stuff. And like, my surprise when you describe this to me is like, how stupid that is.
That's
really dumb.
So why would anyone buy this?
As much as I want to say this is really stupid, I have no idea until I actually see it and play with it.
Well, why would anyone want to buy this in the first place?
So are people turned off by RIM and their experience with RIM before that they're going to not want to buy this sort of thing?
I don't know why they changed it. Not really, because corporations always loved RIM before. I don't know. But see, by making it too much iPhone-like, why would a corporation want it instead of just buying iPhones and Androids? It's exactly the same thing.
Yeah. I mean, are they too late, do you think?
Maybe.
If they do things really, really well and this OS rocks and is really good, they'll definitely get like a bunch of people who don't like Android and don't like iOS.
Yeah, the old RIM people,
Yeah, they'll come back maybe.
Sure.
But even so, is that enough to make profit? I mean, is that enough for them to like...
Well, apparently they're very profitable anyway right now.
Okay.
They continue to be very profitable just because of
Just because of their darn server software.
Yeah, for all their server stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing, it has a really cute feature in the camera. The camera, when you take a picture, it actually, behind the scenes, records for several seconds before you click the shutter.
Okay.
And you can then go back in time and choose where you want. But better than that, you can select a face, each face individually, and go back in time for that one face.
Okay.
So you can find a point where everyone's... You can go back in time 2 seconds for this guy and 1 second for that guy. Until they're all smiling, they kind of merge them all together.
That's kind of cool.
So, all
right, that's an interesting feature.
So if they can patent that well enough to stop everyone else from doing it too, I don't know if it's worth buying the machine for, but it's an interesting feature.
Yeah. Huh. Weird.
So.
Well, so what other device has just been released that nobody knows about, or actually some people know about, or only a few people who actually invested in this know about?
Not sure.
It just now was released. It's a Kickstarter project. In fact, it's the...
Oh, the Pebble Watch.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So all the Kickstarter people who put their $100 into this product are now receiving their Kickstarter Pebble Watch.
Okay.
And underneath the Pebble Watch, it says Kickstarter supporter or something like that. Kickstarter supporter. So they're going to be unique Pebble Watches.
Does it have the signatures inside?
It doesn't have signatures. It just says this is like a Kickstarter project version.
Okay.
Anyway, the Pebble Company is only releasing these now to the people that supported them through Kickstarter first.
Right.
And once those people have been satisfied, then they will sell this to the public.
Okay.
So what do you think is happening now?
But
what are people doing, Mark?
Waiting for an Apple Watch?
What would you do? What?
Wait for the Apple Watch, of course.
No, well, yeah, okay, we all want to wait for the Apple, except me. I want to wait for Well, I want a Pebble watch because I've seen it, played with it, and it's really nice.
Okay.
But what would you do if you knew the general public could not buy this? You got a hold of one.
I know.
What do you think they're going for? These are $100 watches.
$200? $300?
$500.
Really?
Yes. Wow. There's a lot of people selling them, and they're all selling them on eBay for $500. So.
What do they do for iPhones? I can understand them working with Android, but a lot of things they promise don't sound possible with iOS.
I'm kind of bitter and definitely biased. Yeah. eBay, for me, is a seller's place.
Right.
It is not a buyer's place.
Right.
Because a seller can take almost anything in the world, put it up on eBay, and somebody somewhere geographically challenged will buy this.
True.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Anyway.
No, but I mean, what does the watch itself actually do for iOS?
Oh, you know? For iOS? I don't know. Yeah. I know it requires a special application to be running on the Android.
Okay.
I don't know about how it works with iOS, but like the Sony smartwatch, it will alert you when your phone, when a text message comes in. It will tell you when you receive mail. And let's see. I don't know if there's applications. That beyond that, I don't know really else what it really what else it does. But I know you can change watch faces. It uses something like a digital e-ink on the display.
Okay.
So even with the power off, even with the backlight off, you can it's very, very visible.
Huh.
And the contrast is beautiful. It's really, really, really easy to look at and read.
Huh.
And the watch faces are there. I went through some of the watch faces that are available on this my friend's Pebble, and they're pretty nice. So I'm looking forward to playing with it. I think it's going to be pretty cool.
When are the $150 ones coming out?
$151? $150?
They're going to be $150 when they come out, I think.
Okay.
I think.
Really?
Yeah,
so these were $100. I guess people invested in Kickstarter for
$100. Yeah, but I think they're claiming $150. You know, if people buy them for $500 on eBay, maybe they should raise the price. But
they probably could.
They're talking about $150 right
now. Well, I think people are just taking advantage of this delay where the public can't access or can't buy them.
Sure.
They're also really light, by the way. They're not heavy at all.
Okay.
So. Which I kind of like heavy watches.
Plasticky bands, or
the band is plasticky. Yeah, I can't say much for the band, but you could buy a better band if you wanted to. I don't think anything's holding you back from that. So I want one.
Yeah. Wait till Apple comes out. The rumors are Apple's going to make some flexible display that wraps around your wrist with a big display or something.
Okay. And then they're going to get their market share back that they now lost.
Yeah. They haven't lost anything. What are you talking about?
Are you kidding? Apple's amazing.
Makes the best price.
Wall Street was not very happy with them when their earnings were announced.
Yeah.
And they dropped. They're now no longer the most valuable company.
Okay.
It's back to Exxon.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know the numbers. I just know that they lost a significant value when they reported their earnings.
Have half the smartphone sales, though.
Okay.
Just for one little company.
Yeah. And so the rumor, I guess, is that we're not going to see an iPhone 6. We're going to see an iPhone 5S or some BS.
It won't be yes. There'll be some other letter that they'll have some stupid excuse for.
The iPhone, issue.
I may not buy it.
Really?
If it looks exactly the same, I may not bother to buy it.
Yeah. I think it wouldn't surprise me if Mark Burnet went ahead and dipped into the Android market.
Maybe.
No?
I don't know.
Okay.
And that would be the time I would do it if the Apple was disappointing. But
yeah, so if they
might just not do anything.
You'll be one of those people who are sitting on the borderline on the fence, and then when Apple announces it, if there's no major features, you'll be like, yeah, okay, and get an Android.
Or just don't do anything. Why spend the money for anything?
Yeah,
I guess Nexus 4s are cheaper. They're only $300.
That's true. Not bad. Those are not bad phones.
Yeah, I could sell my phone on eBay for a lot more than $400.
Okay.
The $300, yeah.
Huh. All right.
Because mine's unlocked and everything, I could sell it for a lot.
Give me a story.
Okay.
Talk about Kim.com.
Which one?
Kim.com's mega site.
Okay.
Yeah. The new one?
I know a little bit about it.
People are starting to use it to store illegal software.
No.
And they're getting DMC takedowns.
Okay.
And so Kim is actually honoring those.
Okay.
So he's taking them down, trying to be legal, but he's not doing it fast enough, and so there's some speculation that he's going to get in trouble again.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's all I know. $500,000 users registered for Mega within 14 hours.
What's Mega?
Mega is the name of his site.
Oh, okay.
The new one.
You see the story about China?
No.
Where a kid was addicted to video games and the father thought he's not going to have any future if he just wastes his time on this.
Okay.
Instead of going to college and stuff.
Uh-huh.
So the father Father hired assassins to kill him in the game.
What? Oh, in the game.
In the game, only, oh, okay, in the game, yeah.
That's kind of cool. So, that's okay, awesome. Yeah. If I were to stop my child from doing something like that, that might be one way to do it. Just in a sense, that actually shows ingenuity on the part of the father instead of just yelling at his son and getting mad at him for playing video games all day long, which I'm sure he probably did.
But the chances are the kids who are playing video games all day long will find that it's a good future. They will have good jobs out of it.
Right.
But they can control drones. They can...
Yes.
There's a lot of military aspects for that.
Well, we talked about this on several podcasts probably in the past, but this is not a new thing. Like, the old Atari 800 air traffic control simulators,
okay,
if you did very, very well, they would basically ask you to take a picture of the screen, and you could call a special number, and they would actually give you applications to sign up to become an air traffic control person.
Funny. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, you got a really, really high score that was significant to them. So,
yeah, so that's why I'm saying the kids are playing addicted to video games. They'll probably turn out to be for the good someday.
Yeah. Yeah, your insight into things like new jobs and new technology is definitely definitely correct, where people who are stuffy and conservative and talk about things like, oh, video games will never lead to anything.
Right.
They do. They definitely do.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anything else? Microsoft Surface?
Is it Surface Pro?
It's going to be out in February.
February, yeah.
Yeah. What do you think?
I don't know. It's too expensive. Like $800,000 for a... Apparently, a 64... gigabyte version only gives you like 20 gigabytes to store your own files on. Because
all of the OS is taking up a majority of the memory, the RAM.
Yeah, so yes. So you end up having to spend like $1,000 for one that's any good.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a stupid, 10-inch screen.
Yeah, but they broke down the cost of all the peripherals, all the components.
I don't care, but to the end user, why would you want to spend $1,000? Who cares what it costs to make it,
Okay. All right, granted, I haven't played with even the RT tablet much.
Right.
I wasn't really impressed, and I just kind of walked away with it.
Wait, did you touch it?
Yeah, I touched it.
You didn't
massage and caress it.
Oh, that's your problem. I see. Okay.
Should I have?
Yeah. Is the guy still there?
He probably is. I don't think the guy goes home. He sits there on the bench all day and all night.
Yeah.
He doesn't shower. He just sits there. He's wearing the same shirt.
Maybe he's a hologram. Maybe he's not.
We're talking about the Microsoft Surface representative rep guy who sits in the Westfield Mall in San Francisco.
Yeah, he was there before it opened. He just sat in the booth, even though it wasn't open yet.
He doesn't have a home at all. He just sort of lives
there. Yeah, because I used to argue. As soon as I saw they were going to have one, I would always go over and argue with him about stuff. And later on, he kind of manages the booth, apparently.
He's funny, because after you argued with him, you and I both walked up to him like a couple of days later, and he recognized you immediately.
Oh, yeah.
And I wasn't quite sure whether he was happy with you or he was angry with you. He was kind of like standoffish. He was a little bit like he didn't want to talk to you.
Right.
I was like, Mark got to him.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mark threw facts at the guy.
Yeah.
That's funny.
And, yeah, he's the one who originally told me, just touch it. I don't care what you think about iPads or anything like that. When this one comes out, just touch it and you'll be sold.
That was his default statement when he didn't know the answer to the question you were asking.
Right.
So, like, if you pigeonholed him into a corner.
It doesn't matter. Just touch it.
He would just simply say, I can't tell you the answer to that. Just
touch it.
Yeah. All I can say is, touch it.
I know.
That's what I tell my girlfriend.
Right.
Anyway. No, sir, that doesn't work. That's personal. Yeah. All right. Let's see. So that's Surface.
So you have a couple of new operating systems for cell phones.
Okay.
There's your Ubuntu phone and a Firefox phones are coming out for some reason.
Are they OSs for existing phones, or are they new phones that are coming out?
Brand new phones.
Oh, okay. Yeah. A Firefox phone?
Yeah.
I know about the Ubuntu phone. Well, actually, I didn't know about the phone. I knew about the Ubuntu OS. But is Ubuntu coming out with a brand new phone? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. They'll run Linux apps, I guess.
Huh.
Or they'll be stupid and have it run only unique apps for it, which will
probably
lose the point about why
that could be very cool. I mean, for like a Linux head or somebody who's into Unix.
Yeah, but Linux apps aren't the kind of thing you'd want to run on a phone.
No, but having a terminal there to be able to access and like to SSH and other boxes from there.
You just with Android, though.
Not really, because they kind of lock you out of being able to run command prompts or terminals within. You have to root your phone, I think, to be able to install a terminal.
No, you can still run terminal emulators. You can log into something else.
That's true. Yes, yeah. But not access your main machine to do.
Yeah.
There's file managers, but I've never. I mean, I think you have to root in order to be able to do stuff with your main machine. Like, you know, it'd be cool to be able to run, let's say, Python on your phone.
Right.
You know, which you could only do if you had if you rooted your phone.
But the Ubuntu one, if it runs real Ubuntu programs plus apps that are oriented around the phone, maybe that could be interesting.
Yeah.
I just think it's too late. Why would anyone want that as opposed to an Android or an iOS now?
People, only nerds and people who like that, you know, who like to get into the guts of stuff like that would actually appreciate it. That's not going to sell for the average public, though.
I know.
I agree.
And Firefox? Nobody cares about Firefox anymore, do they?
Here's an article you might have a personal opinion about. Okay. Scientists restart work on deadly engineered avian flu. Right. So you remember they stopped the work on the avian flu because of the danger?
Right.
In January 2012, scientists around the world halted research on engineered avian flu viruses over concerns that the work was too dangerous.
Right.
Now these scientists are taking to labs once more to continue their work.
Just to study as a theoretical thing to see what they can learn, or to make antiviruses for it?
Yeah. Well, no, to I mean, it was engineered and created in a lab. I mean, it was like take the worst of these of these viruses, put them together, make a hybrid, and that's how this whole thing came about. And as a result, they said, no, stop doing this. This is dangerous. You got to, you know, it's like nuclear energy.
Someone's going to do it anyway, so I guess you might as well learn it.
Yeah. Under the right conditions, I guess we could benefit from it. But isn't it like just asking for trouble? It's like, I guess you have to pursue it in the name of science.
Right.
Which is kind of what you're saying.
No, but it's just saying other people are going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
Under the cover, under the table. So
maybe it's we might as well be the first and do it right?
Right.
Okay.
Or learn how to make an antivirus from it.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
Let's see.
Sony's discontinuing cassette recorders.
Sony's
handheld cassette recorder.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I saw that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we all knew that would happen.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, digital recording is now so cheap.
Yeah. Hi.
No, thank you.
Okay.
How about the Jobs movie?
That looks kind of stupid.
Okay.
Yeah, that one scene that they released so far.
Yes.
Wozniak, the Jobs look.
Right. Go
Jobs
ahead.
Looks almost right, but the Wozniak looks ridiculous because I knew Wozniak back then. He was. Wasn't anything like that.
Yeah, Ashton.
And Wozniak himself says that scene never happened.
Right.
Nothing whatsoever.
No, he saw. I think he saw a clip of the movie and said they got a lot of things absolutely wrong.
Right.
One of the things they got wrong is that Jobs never participated in the homebrew club.
Yes,
like
he did.
What's that?
He did so.
He said that he did not. Woz said he was not as prominent in the homebrew computing club and that it was mostly him.
That's kind of true. Yeah.
And that.
That's kind of true. Yeah.
Okay, and that in the movie they actually have Jobs like there all throughout the whole homebrew club.
Speaking,
doing different things, showing off. You know, I don't know if he's showing off apps.
He was certainly there all the time, but I guess Wozniak.
Oh, really?
Spoke more. Yeah.
I don't know.
First of all, it was a big club with hundreds of people.
Woz
there.
Made it seem like he wasn't there as much as the movie made him seem like he was.
Yeah.
So.
But also, I'd say it was a huge club with hundreds of people.
Right.
And only maybe 10 people at a time and a Nike would ever speak or anything. So.
Oh, I thought it was like a small group of people. I didn't think it was that much.
They were huge. They were really big at one time.
Huh.
They filled the whole large auditoriums.
Okay.
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
And you would go there to meet your friends to go have food?
Jerry the Russian, yeah.
Jerry the Russian, who believes that you don't exist.
Yeah, so I'm not sure how I used to meet him since he doesn't exist.
Right. Well, not only does he not exist, but everybody else doesn't exist either. So therefore, it doesn't matter what you did.
Yeah, so how did I meet him?
You didn't.
I scratched my head.
You did and you didn't at the same time.
Yeah, okay.
So I'll be interested to see this movie. I just want to see how Ashton Kutcher portrays Jobs.
Apparently, anyway, but that's what I didn't like about that one scene that they released so far.
Okay.
I was thinking... Okay, this really happened. Maybe it's just something. It doesn't look right to me, but maybe it really happened. I don't know what I'm talking about. But then Wozniak said that scene never happened. Nothing remotely like that ever happened.
Okay.
So anyway, yeah.
Huh. All right. Interesting. We will see. When's that? I don't know when it's coming out.
Yeah, I forget.
What?
When's the other one coming out? The one based on Eisenberg's book. The one being written by Aaron Sorkin.
Josh Gad is the guy who plays Wozniak in this.
Okay.
But.
Yeah, when's the Aaron Sorkin one coming out? Because I think I would like that one a lot better.
Okay. Yeah, we don't know. We don't know when this is coming out.
Okay. I say there's a second movie coming out, though.
Okay.
Based on the Eisenberg book.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I heard that as well.
Okay.
So.
Now let's talk about Tizen. We haven't talked about Tizen yet, have we?
No, we haven't. And we should have. I think we meant to last show.
Okay.
What is Tizen, Mark?
Tizen. Samsung apparently is tired of just being in Android like everybody else.
Okay.
So they're thinking about doing their own operating system called Tizen that will be totally unique to them, and their phones and their apps will all use Tizen.
Okay.
I'm kind of guessing it's going to be an Asian thing. It's not going to be for the American market, but I don't know, maybe.
Okay. Tizen.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's a bad move to try to create an OS at this stage, even if the OS for your phone is good, even if you do everything right.
Yeah.
I think there's too much competition right now in the phone operating system.
But Samsung is really, really big. Maybe they think they can get away with it.
I don't know. I mean, Windows 8 is struggling, and I think it's going to continue to struggle. But I think what's going to put Windows over the top is if they make really good hardware.
Right.
Because it's saturated the market enough, so people, the general consumer isn't going to care about so much the feature set of the OS.
Right.
What I think is going to attract them is the feature set of the hardware, the stuff that stands out.
That's true. Okay.
Memory, camera.
If people don't even know what the operating system is.
Right.
Like people don't understand RT at all, for example.
So they won't care so much. They're going to be overwhelmed and happy with the hardware.
No, but the whole thing about Acer making more money on Chromebooks. How many Chromebooks can they really be selling? But because no one's buying the Windows 8 notebooks.
Well, people look at a Chromebook and they see, oh my gosh, that's a laptop.
It's cheap.
And they see that it's $200 and they see that it's got Chrome on it.
Right.
And to them, that's awesome. That's what they use at home. They use the browser to browse the web.
Right.
So that's what probably
sells.
They
don't realize they can't do anything else.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
No, but apparently Acer can't sell the Windows 8 notebooks, so that's why.
Yeah.
That doesn't
surprise me.
Yeah.
Although, Asus has one that has the touch screen on the back of the laptop. They've got the screen on the front and then one on the back.
Right.
And the mistake they made was that, yes, you can put the screen down over the keyboard and you have essentially a tablet with the touch screen on the back.
Right.
But everyone who's the CNET reviews have said that the screen on the inside should also be touchable. And it's totally a waste of time to be on the keyboard, have Windows 8 running, and the screen that you can touch is on the back.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah,
okay. I forget what model that is.
Yeah.
And how do you feel about J.J. Abrams directing the next Star Wars?
I don't know. What has he done before?
Star Trek.
Star Trek.
The new Star
Trek. Star Trek is doing Star Wars?
Yeah.
What?
You don't care?
Did he do the even Star Trek or the odd Star Trek?
No, he did that one last Star Trek movie that was really popular that everybody really loved with all the special glare effects in the movie in space.
Because only is the even ones that are good or the odd ones that are good
in
Star Trek?
I think all of them were pretty terrible except for this last one. I really admit that the last Star Trek Abrams did was really good. It had Spock in it, the Leonard
Nimoy. Oh, that one, yeah.
Yeah, you remember that one? Okay. That was actually really good. And so because of that fame...
We're about to be kicked out, by the way.
What?
We're about to be kicked out, I think.
Are we?
Excuse me, ma'am. We own machines. You can't kick us out.
It's 7:52. We do
have to... We own machines, ma'am. We have rights to be here.
We do have to wrap it up.
Okay.
And I do see... Wow, time does fly.
How much memory do you have?
I do have a good counter. We haven't run out at all. We've been recording for 44 minutes.
Okay. So... I don't have anything else that exciting. Can I do my craps? I don't even have good craps today.
Let's see. Scientists are making a vaccine for alcoholism.
Really?
That basically what it does is it makes your body not able to handle alcohol. And so immediately when you take a drink, it makes you want to throw up violently.
But there's drugs like that already, but maybe it's not. Maybe you have to keep taking them all the time.
Yeah. Let's see here. The blurb I can read is, though most borderline alcoholics don't need an anti-fun vaccine for alcoholism, those that drink a little too much could probably use the world's first vaccine for alcoholism. Made by scientists in Chile, the vaccine works by screwing over people who drink. Seriously, once you pump yourself with the juice, you'll experience the worst hangover of your life. And they figured out, they took genetic material from an animal that cannot handle, it's like some kind of a monkey in some weird area of the world that cannot handle alcoholism at all, cannot produce, that basically cuts off the liver from being able to produce or handle the alcohol. So you essentially, from literally one or two sips of alcohol, you start, like,
but instantly it makes you sick. Later? But if you get sick an hour later, it's not going to stop anybody?
No, it's it's actually relatively, from what I read in the article, it's relatively fast acting. Your your body cannot handle it, so within minutes you start to hurl.
Right.
So it probably gives you like a gag reflex. You vomit. But
can it really be done as a genetic, as a vaccination later, though? Your liver's not going to get replaced with something just because you take the vaccine.
It blocks, from what I read, it blocks your liver from being able to process it. Process alcohol.
But cell by cell?
I don't know.
I'm just skeptical whether they could really do that as a vaccine later. Okay.
Well, again, for all the people that are listening, if you're interested in any of the stuff we're talking about, we'll share it with you on the website at www.slurpcast.com. You want to talk about Facebook's recent feature?
Oh, the search?
The friggin' search. So
I don't have it yet.
The trick is that whenever you like something, that's going to become publicly available. So that,
which already, if your privacy settings already allow it to be. It
no, but
really
my understanding is even if you set your privacy settings to be only sharing things amongst friends, if you start liking stuff, that information, even though you set your privacy settings to just share stuff only with friends, will become publicly available.
But only to the friends, I think.
The idea is that they can take the API, give it to somebody else, and let them do searches against all the people within Facebook based on what they've liked in the past.
Yeah, but you can definitely restrict your privacy settings to block that in some ways.
Well, what I have read is that if you have set up your profile so that the public cannot see it, that doesn't remove you from the results that people get back when they query.
Sure. Yeah, until we can actually get them.
What's that?
Apparently you know you have it, because you know Facebook has that search bar at the top, which is a white search bar where you type into.
Right.
But the videos I've seen of people doing the graph search, it stays blue. They're typing over a blue thing.
Okay.
So apparently when your search bar turns blue, that's when you'll know you have it.
Okay. Well, I don't have it either yet, so I don't really know other than from what I've read. This is what I'm talking about. Apparently, even if you know your site is, if your profile is marked private only, nobody's going to be able to go to your profile and see you, but you will be returned matching the results.
Now, the things I read is that it definitely you have to be marked public before that'll happen.
Okay.
But maybe you never cared before. You never cared if the public sees one particular thing.
Okay.
You weren't really expecting the public to go doing fancy search engines.
Okay.
To find things that, you know, it's just different when a search engine can dig things out that you may not carry individually item by item, whether it's public or not.
Okay, well, that's something we'll figure out.
We'll find out
when we start getting it live.
Okay.
That's pretty much it. That's all I have. Do you have any...
Facebook has something I just discovered today. It may be old, but I never saw it before. You know those little things you carry with you that have the six-digit display all the time, keeps updating the numbers?
No.
You know, there's security things that there's Google has an app for it, and there's just physical things you can carry that change numbers all the time.
Oh, yeah, like the RSA keys?
Yeah.
Right.
So Facebook now has, the Facebook iPhone app generates a key like that. You can restrict Facebook so that when you log into a brand new machine for the first time, it'll demand a key from your Facebook app on your phone.
That's cool.
So I never saw that.
I like that.
I just ran into it in the menus today. But
you can set that in like the preferences or something?
You can set in the preferences whether it needs it or not.
Okay.
And then in your Facebook app, Android and iOS, both. You just go to the menu of your Facebook app. There's a thing down there so generate a key or something.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Awesome.
But you only have to do it once per new machine. Because it saves cookies. I don't know how it recognizes it somehow.
Okay.
You can also cut off devices. I didn't realize that before. You can get a list of every device that has logged into your Facebook.
Uh-huh.
And you can cut them off, cut off their session.
Turn them off. I've seen that with other services. Amazon does that with all your different devices that you might download books from.
Right.
From your store, from your app.
Okay.
Your account.
Yeah,
Amazon.
Gmail can do that. You can knock off Gmail sessions and stuff.
And then, my bank does that as well. I think banks will, allow you to force you to go through some really stupid CAPTCHA type thing.
Right.
All right.
So they never talk to us. They keep staring at us.
They know. They will come over eventually.
People keep wandering around. They keep staring at us.
It is almost 8 o'clock.
Okay, thank you.
So they just did. And
your point is? And your point is?
Mark, they just talked to us.
And your point is? Do you know who we are? Do you know which machines we own? Between the two of
you, don't understand.
We spent $1,000 on your machine.
Do you realize how much money we put into your equipment here?
We spent $1,000 on your machine. It's true, right? We spent $1,000 between the two of us on
your
stupid machine.
I spent probably more than $1,000. I spent probably
But you have a $600 machine. I have a $400 machine.
Yes.
They're just machines alone. We spent $1,000.
No, but I mean, if you add the total cost of pods that I purchased,
that's true. Yeah.
I probably bought a lot of pods. Anyway,
okay.
So they haven't responded to my appeal.
Oh yeah.
Okay. We can talk about that in the next show. But anyway, I was mistreated by Nespresso. Anyway,
that's impossible.
Do you have any craps?
No.
Should we just go?
Nothing I care about.
Yeah. Everyone, thanks for listening to the show. To wrap up real quick, if you want to get the show notes and comment, actually add some comments on this episode, where would they do that?
www.slurpcast.com.
Yes. Thanks, Mark.
Sure. Okay.